Hi everyone, this is JP, and you are listening to the Exploring EOS podcast. Today we have an interview with another block producer known as EOS Mezo, and they are from Guatemala. We will be talking to one of their representatives. His name is Jose Torriello. And before we get to the interview, I just want to remind everyone to be sure to subscribe to the podcast so that you do not miss out on future interviews regarding airdrops and distributed applications and block producers and pretty much everything related to EOS. And with that out of the way, on to the interview. Jose, welcome to the Exploring EOS podcast.
JP, it's my pleasure to be here. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Excellent. Excellent. Here in Guatemala and Mesoamerica.
That's awesome. I remember we first met on the EOS Go launch party live stream. We just kind of happened to be on there together. So it was great to meet you there. You're a pretty fun guy.
Thank you. Yeah, that was a fun party. A 5-day long party expecting the launch. And it was great to be on the show. And those guys are doing a great job as well as yourself.
Yeah, well, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate you being on. And first of all, I'd just like to ask, you know, how did you personally get involved in blockchain and ultimately in EOS?
Sure. Yeah. I've been an errant person in the sense that I've been involved in several industries throughout my life. Started with music, went into ecotourism, and then ended up in financial planning. And during the 2009 meetup, and I kind of became a local reference. People were calling me about this. Even the central bank summoned me to explain Bitcoin to them.
Really?
And That whole process had led me to discover EOS. A few weeks after the white paper was published, and got really excited about the problems that EOS is trying to solve in blockchain. And
Quick, we got to back up here for a second. The Guatemalan central bank summoned you to explain Bitcoin to them.
That's correct. Wow. Well, it was myself and actually two other partners in EOS Mesoamerica who were called upon. This was quite a funny meeting. We were basically telling the central bank, you're like the taxis being Ubered.
That's a bold thing to say.
We tried to explain it in a way that they would understand and actually told them, you know what we think is a interesting strategy that you might want to take is have your innovation department basically buy some Bitcoin and start experimenting with it. And it's a great hedge that you could employ in terms of another financial crisis, which is likely to happen again because nothing really has changed of the causes that made the financial crash happen in 2007 and 2008. They thanked us for our time, and I'm not sure if they've bought Bitcoin yet. I haven't checked.
Well, that's fascinating. So you learned about EOS a couple weeks after the white paper, and you read the white paper and got excited about it. Is that
very excited? Yeah. I think EOS has several advantages over current systems. Starting with no transaction fees and also just the fact that your token is actually valuable on its own, meaning that you hold your token and you can actually demand resources from the network instead of the old way of doing it, which is like pay as you go to punch in stuff into the blockchain. I think those characteristics were the first to really draw me into it. And then the whole idea of establishing legal system within the blockchain is fascinating, and I think is the proper approach to prevent our world from going into a might is right paradigm. And I've been involved in the governance discussions throughout the past. I started, I think, maybe in like January, February, speaking on this governance channel and just getting involved in the whole process. And finally, it was like, well, we should be a block producer candidate because we believe we have strong case for it.
Very cool. Yeah, I'm really fascinated by the whole governance thing, and we had Thomas Cox on a previous episode to talk about that, and it's pretty exciting, pretty new way of doing things in the blockchain world, and we'll see what happens, I guess, you know.
Yeah, and I mean, we have to get it right. It's still emerging, you know what I mean? It's not hammered out yet exactly how it's gonna function, but I think the principles are in everyone's mind, and we're you know what, 7 days old right now. I don't know like how long the blockchain has actually been live. I forget, but it's already beginning to show that this this idea is very powerful, and a lot of interest is being you know, looking into EOS because of this. So I think it's in the long run going to be the singular thing that makes it stand out, and hopefully be adopted by more and more businesses, which need to have some sort of you know, arbitration recourse. Otherwise, it's only going to be, you know, the millennials doing small business deals on blockchain instead of like a large. I mean, I'm not talking about large corporations, but I mean like more and more businesses actually using a blockchain to conduct their business. So I'm working to that end.
Yeah, that's very cool. Yeah, we need to get it to a point where it's not just a novelty to say, oh, hey, I accept Bitcoin or I accept EOS as a way to, you know, get some media attention or get a few more customers,
right,
but actually have a system that is robust enough to handle, you know, things like arbitration, like you mentioned.
And yeah, exactly. Like, and so part of yeah, our strategy with EOS Mesoamerica is that we from day one, we got many partners into our candidacy, because we knew that was the real thing that's going to distinguish our BP candidacy and also EOS is massive adoption in our region, at least is what we're focusing on. And so we brought on the board, you know, all sorts of business people from all sorts of industries, from television stars to lawyers, to financial professionals, university teachers, and faculty and trustees. Part of our crew comes from a university. It was one of the first in the world to accept Bitcoin as tuition payment. It's a local university.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Yeah, it's amazing. And most people aren't aware, I think, in the blockchain world, that we have this movement going on here in Guatemala.
Yeah. Well, so essentially, it sounds like something you're trying to do is that when people think of blockchain or of EOS, they think Guatemala.
Hopefully.
Because, you know, that's not something I think, but hearing about that with that local university and your focus on the local area, I think a lot of people kind of first start of thinking, at least in the United States, this is kind of a mindset,
yeah,
is think of like a top-down kind of solution, like go for everybody at once. Like, but really, I think something that's really powerful, especially around the world, is to focus locally, to be able to say, okay, we can actually use EOS here in people's everyday lives, and that's going to drive huge demand for action.
I agree. I mean, our what we can offer to EOS is local adoption, as well as, you know, a running node and infrastructure that works, and we can get into that, but I think what makes us stand out is we have a very influential business community already as part of our candidacy, and they're benefiting if we get voted in, and they're sharing with all their network the virtues of the system, right? And they'll continue to do so if we get elected. If we don't manage to get in, then they, I mean, their excitement might not disappear, but it might not be as powerful as it could be. Now, I definitely agree that the local focus needs to be something that we pay attention to. And that's why all of our partners were born here. All of them were born here. And not all of them are active in Guatemala at the moment. We have some people who are based in LA, some people based in Texas, some people based in New York, other people very connected to Israel. and then a bunch of people actually working on the problems here. And one thing that's, I think, important to know is that we in Latin America and other, you know, less developed places are more in need of what EOS blockchain can provide. And I think that's going to be a catalyst for more rapid adoption. I mean, in other places, you have sort of semi-working, at least judicial branches, for example. Mm-hmm. Over here, we have a completely dysfunctional one. So people really want something like this. And so when you start to speak to business people about EOS blockchain around here, they you can really see in their eyes, they get excited and they want to know more. And so we even had to be a little slow about communicating this, because we want to actually communicate it when it's a little more established and the way to use it is more known. Right now it's still a little quirky, so we're more focusing our efforts on actually launching the chain properly and making sure all these governance systems are put in place, and that's what's our focus right now. But once we know that it gets it's working right, then our focus is going to turn to just rapid adoption in our locality.
Yeah. Well, that's a fascinating point that you bring up with like the judicial branch not really working that well locally. I think that's true in a lot of places throughout the world.
And yeah.
An amazing thing about EOS as compared to Bitcoin, for example, you know, Bitcoin has its advantages, but you could potentially, you know, hopefully we'll see how this works, but you could potentially say, you know, maybe I won't even use EOS as a currency or whatever that much, but maybe we'll just use it as a judiciary. Like we'll put our contracts on the EOS blockchain. And then if we have a problem, we can go to an arbitrator on EOS instead of going to a state arbitrator that.
Agreed. And I mean, the denomination of currency that you use within EOS, I'm sure we'll start to see all sorts of instruments pop up that don't rely on EOS as the payment method precisely, but more have, you know, what are called stable coins prop up, so that in your, you know, normal business case where you don't want the volatility of an asset like EOS to be the payment system, I'm sure we're going to see that evolve sooner rather than later. So yeah, it's a good point you bring up that it doesn't need to be used as a currency. It can be used as a platform to have a conflict resolution, for example.
Yeah, well, that's amazing. I hadn't really fully thought of that in that way. That's really cool. So, what else can you bring to EOS? You know, as a block producer candidate, you mentioned your technology, and we already talked about some of the local stuff. But what else are you guys doing as a block producer?
So I will say two things: one short one and one long one.
Okay.
So the short one is, we have a team of engineers monitoring our node 24/7. Of course, that should be like standard practice, but I think we've seen with the quirks that have come up recently that not all candidates and not even all 21 elected block producers are actually monitoring their node 24/7, because some of them have been hard to reach when the crisis hit. So that's just something I wanted to mention, because I guess most people might not know that this isn't the case. I see many block producer candidates are like four people, you know. that's I don't think that's enough, really. I think you need a whole team of just IT infrastructure, like monitoring 24/7, like if you were a bank, you know. I mean, maybe not as big as a crew of that you're gonna have on a bank's data center, but for now, but eventually, yeah. So we've prepared for this, and we can also on our tech side, we're in allegiance, and this is something people don't understand. They might think Guatemala, you know, what's up with that? Like, do they even have good internet? And so our country passed a law in the 90s to free up the telecom market, and we have excellent you know, service signal almost everywhere in the country, and we have five different connections to the worldwide internet. This means if like, I don't think even Los Angeles has more than one way to take the internet out through the sea. We have five different ways to like physical connections to the worldwide internet infrastructure. So that's, I think, an important point that doesn't get through most of the time. And then the other thing we bring to the table, I think, is you know, apps can that are developed by people who know the local issues. And the problems here in Guatemala are analogous to all of Latin America, at least a large portion of it, and maybe even, you know, Southeast Asia, Africa. So we have on our team people that have built successful enterprise apps before and that have the proper skills and knowledge and interest to do it. And also on our team, people that are interested in funding these type of things. And I mean, if you look at our webpage, eosmeso.io, you will see the partners that we like to highlight the most. But it's a really cool network that I think will become an ecosystem very, very soon if we get elected as at least a standby. Aside from that, we also have a large community focus on projects that are going to benefit directly and really that I've already established. Like we have Plantemos Mil Árboles. It's called the organization. They plant thousands of trees already, over 100,000 trees planted in our region, and they're using tech to monitor all these plantations throughout their life cycle, and they're interested in tokenizing a part of these efforts so that it's more visible to the world and can be financed to do more and more of this. We will give out a part of our rewards to the Lake Atitlan rescue effort, which is an important project to save an iconic lake in our region from pollution through an infrastructure of basically a huge plumbing infrastructure that's going to need a lot of IoT sensors to monitor the flow of water. And if we are successful with funding this project and putting some of the data and that generated there on EOS, and that's going to be huge, I think, to influence the future of this kind of public infrastructure projects. And so that could be another big contribution that we make.
So are you saying that you would fund that from your block producer income?
Yes. Rewards? Yes. In our Steemit posts, you can go to Steemit and at EOS Meso and look for the details of exactly, the proportion that goes into these projects. And there's also another one that's doing rapid education to get kids, they go through a month-long program and learn marketable skills, and they get hired right after. That's another program we're supporting. And then just the general blockchain meetups that we've been doing throughout the years that are gathering, the tech community here in Guatemala around the theme of blockchain, which we've been sort of financing, personally and with some favors from other people. But as the community has grown, we kind of need a financing mechanism. And the proposition to the EOS network is, well, if you like these meetups to continue, we will do 1% of our income from being a block producer. We'll go directly into having these meetups. And if any funding is left after running the meeting and paying for the lights to be on and that kind of thing, if any income is left, then a group of 21 of the early contributors to the community will decide what to do with this funding. Do it as a sort of a bounty thing that you offer to the community. Hey, we would like to see this app be developed. Who's up for it? And then the community of 21 people will choose the winner and give the funds to the winner, that type of thing.
Very cool. It's interesting. We just talked about before the judiciary kind of potentially being replaced. And then you talk about, doing an infrastructure project. These are both things that people generally attribute to or wait for the state or the government to do.
The thing is, you need to understand that at least our generation here, we're just sick of waiting. Our state is completely dysfunctional. I mean, our roads are shit. Our judiciary is corrupt. Our Congress is absolutely corrupt, and so. We've at least taken the attitude of let's build the solutions. Obviously, blockchain as a common good, as something that we can all share a source of truth from, it can be used for public good projects. Since we are so lacking in this type of community goods, then that's sort of been our focus. It's interesting. I tell people about our group, and by the way, it's called Ceiba, like the tree Ceiba. It's our national tree and the holy tree of Mesoamerica, according to the ancient Maya cultures. Ceiba.io is, you can go look and at the articles that we've written and some videos of our meetups and that kind of stuff. But I joke that our community is not like when moon, when Lambo. It's more like, when do we fix society? When do we have transparency? When public goods? That's our focus. And we love to keep it that way because, frankly, that's, I think, what has drawn more and more of the brains, the local brains, to be interested in our meetups. And we hope that if we get powered by the EOS network, it's going to really accelerate and the potential, because see, Guatemala, we're so used to working without capital, you know, so a bunch of these tech guys, they'll just program stuff on their free time to so we have a guy who for 6 years voluntarily just showed up to these government meetings demanding that they share their data in a workable fashion, because they were sharing PDFs that you couldn't even copy and paste into like an Excel sheet because they didn't want to be audited. And so our guy is like, for 6 years, he's been there insisting, and finally they released the data in a workable fashion. So this is the type of people we're drawing in, right?
Well, that's really good to hear, because, I mean, with all the mania over blockchain and the prices going up really fast and everything in the past year, a lot of people, I think, have gotten in just because they see it as a way, like almost like a lottery, you know, a way to make a bunch of
quick buck
without doing anything. And, you know, I'm really excited about it for the technology and for what it can actually do. And so I think, especially for block producer candidates, that's really important. You know, I don't really want a block producer candidate who is just in it for the money, because then, you know, they'll just, and I'm, every block producer candidate is going to be influenced somewhat by the money, but I also want some people who are committed to, you know, freedom and, you know, what blockchain can do, rather than just, hey, we can make money on this.
Yes. And I think there's only a few that fit into the category of more, you know, thinking about it in terms of how much money I'm going to make. I think most of the candidates that I've seen at least have at least an intention to do some very good things for EOS. Now, one problem I see, as I said, is teams that I've seen, most of them are quite small. I mean, you have some teams is, you know, two or three guys. And I think that's going to lead to a concentration of wealth that's not the best desired outcome, in my view. And I would like to see more block producer candidates with many, many, many more partners within them, like ourselves, because I think if we keep it, you know, these inflation rewards, if we keep them going to many, many different hands, all the better, right? If they start to concentrate in a small group, and then that group can vote with those tokens and increase their position and defend themselves as block producers and be installed there forever, I think that's going to be a weakness for the system at large. So as a voter, like forgetting about my candidacy, but as a voter, I'm looking for teams that are large, and especially if they're in places that aren't your typical location. Like, I'm going to mention a few, like the EOS Detroit guys. They haven't been voted in, I think, at the moment with enough votes to actually start to make any money. And these guys, it's similar to us. Like, they're in a city where there's a lot of real, you know, disruptive change that happened in the last few years. And these guys are based like on a community, on a strong community. And so that's the kind of candidate I like more than the, you know, three or four guys that, you know, did some good marketing and started early on. And right. And I give it, saying that, there's still a few teams with very few people that have done a lot. So that's not, I mean, you need to weigh several different things when choosing who to vote for. And there's some very good talented teams near the top, and also some not so active in the community that seem to have just a few really, really large token holders together voting themselves in, which I think as we get more and more participation of more and more people to actually vote, will start to matter less. So I'm looking forward to more people learning how to vote and informing themselves of because there's many, many really good candidates out there, like many good ones.
Yeah, I just saw that I think Bitfinex has just enabled voting for people on the exchange. So that's exciting. That's probably a huge chunk of people who can now vote more easily.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting how that works with the exchanges. I hope they do a good job of allowing the wishes of the token holders to actually come through. Right, I'm not sure how possible that is and what they're going to do about it. But I would say a token holder, just like I would say about Bitcoin or I would say about anything, exchanges are to make exchanges. I don't think you should leave your tokens there. Mm-hmm. I think we've seen already throughout the years how much of a bad idea that is. So hopefully people get more educated and learn about, you know, how to transfer tokens to themselves. I think that's part of the spirit of this whole thing. And so that's something we like to say as well.
Yeah. So with going back to what you were saying about the having a bigger team, that's something mm-hmm. that I kind of thought of, but I didn't really that deeply into any block producers in terms of like the exact size of their team. But that does make a lot of sense because block producers are supposed to agree to have like, I think a 15 minute response time. Is that right?
It should be less, I think. Yeah. To me, it's 24/7 monitoring. And okay, yeah, if maybe the guy monitoring doesn't know exactly what to do, but he can at least sound the alarm and contact the person, wake them up or whatever. And you need to have two or three of those persons that can get that call to actually make a decision. And I think you will see that happen more and more as people discover that this is a need. I would have liked for at least at the ones at the top. There's been a few that haven't been as responsive as you would think with mm-hmm. something as large at stake. But this is the nature of the beast as well. I mean, it's the direct democracy, and if they have the votes, then they're in there. Unless they, you know, offline for X amount of time. And that whole process, I think we will see it emerge. And right now it's still the honeymoon phase, but there will be a point where if someone misses a meeting, I think the rest of the block producers are going to call it out publicly and tell people, stop voting for these guys, you know?
Yeah.
Right now, I think everyone's been a little too cautious in that sense. They don't want to lose their standing and you know, so few people have actually voted yet. I mean, if you look at the distribution, it's been some very large accounts that are influencing the whole result. And now as the exchanges start to be able to do the voting thing, I hope we'll see a wider distribution of votes so that people can feel confident that they have a community behind them instead of two or three people who I'm not sure who they are and that might unvote me if I start to, you know, do right. call out some bullshit.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, is there anything else about EOS Mezo that you want?
Yes. There's a last thing. Maybe we finish with this. So most block producers have, you know, a strategy and some marketing and some things they have done for the community and whatnot. But I think we have all those. But I think no one has a mythology like the one and we actually do. So Mesoamerica is a cultural region that has existed for quite a long time, since before the year zero in the current calendar that we use. Mesoamerica comprises the region all like maybe of today's borders. You could say whole southern side of Mexico, like half of Mexico, all the way to a part of Costa Rica. This is a cultural region where you have seen the cultures like the Mayas and the Aztecas and the Olmecs and many, many other civilizations that have existed within this geography. So we took an inspiration from this history, you know, for our branding. So basically in the year, I think it was 378 AD, there was a general who was tired of the corruption in Tikal, Tikales is one of the cities here in Guatemala, in the north of Guatemala, that's similar to like the pyramids of Giza. You know, it's this very, very incredible architecture that was in the jungle, buried under the jungle for years, and was discovered some 100 years ago again. And the archaeologists have discovered that there was a time when that regime in that city was so corrupt and taxing everyone on their transactions between the south of Mesoamerica and the northern side of Mesoamerica. And so a rebellion took place, but it was, according to some accounts, a very peaceful rebellion because it was so legitimate that this group led by the Fire is Born general from Teotihuacan came over and replaced the corrupt regime in Tikal with a dynasty that lasted for, you could argue, 700 years, and that was responsible for building the monuments that you see today and the culture thriving for many centuries. And so we are drawing inspiration from this version of history, and to say, yes, we are coming with EOS to change the corrupt regime of Mesoamerica and have a new classical period of our culture come back, because we believe that it's the corruption that's actually holding us back as a region that can really flourish and bring to the world all of our gifts. So yeah, I'd like to point that out.
Okay, very cool. Yeah, and that ties right back to what we were talking about before of you know, investing locally and everything you're doing. So you're tying it all together there. I really appreciate your time today and all the work you've done on EOS and helping with the launch and all of that. I know you guys are working hard. So thank you for your time and all of your effort.
Thank you as well for doing that. I think we're all working in the same direction, or at least the vast majority of us, I think I've seen so many people from all across the world that are very, very tired of a financial and legal system that's just not working out anymore. And we want to build something better. And that's, to me, what we are about. And EOS Meso and EOS in general, that's what we're about.
Very good. Well, where can people go to find out more about what EOS Meso is doing?
Sure, you can go to eosmeso.io as a general website, and we're going to have updates on there all the time. And also you can follow us on Steemit, EOS Meso, WeChat, EOS Meso, Telegram, EOS Meso, and Twitter as well, and even Facebook, EOS Meso. So whichever you prefer, and we're a very amicable community, so whoever joins the channel, they get asked like, hey, what brings you here? Where are you from? And so it's very fun to interact with us. So please do. And go to Twitter and you can see many of our funny animations about our candidacy that also bring back this mythology of Mesoamerica to the branding. So I hope you like those too.
Very nice. Well, thanks again, Jose, and wish you the best of luck.
You too, man. If you give me, have a great day and rest of the week. And I hope you keep exploring EOS because it's so big and there's so much to explore.
Yeah, we're just getting started. Okay, that's it for today's interview. Special thanks to EOS Meso and Jose for taking the time today. You can find all the links and show notes for EOS Meso over at exploringeos.com. There you can also join our email list to get notified whenever we have a new episode or blog post. And please take a moment to subscribe in your podcast app of choice or over at youtube.com/exploringeos and give us a rating, give us a review, and also just thank you for taking the time to join us in exploring EOS. The content of the Exploring EOS show, videos, and website are for informational, educational, and entertainment purposes only. It is not intended to be and does not constitute financial, investment, legal, or professional advice of any kind. You should not take action on any information provided without first consulting a professional advisor and doing your own due diligence. Investing in cryptocurrencies is risky. Please seek professional help.